This is episode 22 of the Blaze Podcast, season 2, episode 22, and we have a great show ahead. This team is playing well. Big thanks off the top here to River Shore Golf Links, to Kevin and the crew. Hey, the snow is off the ground again here. We could be getting closer, getting into late February. We'll keep you posted. The Blaze will be the first to break the news on the first round at River Shore Golf Links. But you can feel it a little bit. The springtime is getting closer. That gets us excited as well. And this show hopefully gets a few people excited along the way as well. Thanks for being along for the ride once again. And so much to recap from this past week. Our featured guest this week has quite the story to tell. Tim O'Donovan will stop by. Assistant GM, he's worked us all the way up from, like, basically one rung lower than water boy for the team. So he's done a great job, and we'll check in with Tim about his path, his road, and maybe inspiring for those that, you know, don't have a silver spoon when it comes to, you know, hockey in the business, just how you can go about your way and make an impact and work in the game. That's coming up a little bit later on. Some tough news with Harrison Brunick to discuss his injury, likely a season-ending injury, the hit from Alex Edwards. We'll talk more about that as well. Busy weekend on tap, 3 games, 3 nights, 3 different cities. We'll get into all that as well, but let's get into episode 22. It is for River Shore Golf Links. All right, the opener now for Bry's Automotive and Customs. We had Danny on the show last week from Bry's Automotive and Customs, where they specialize in car and pickup truck repairs and restorations. Danny was a great guest, and she was also pumped about the Blaze bump. We'll explain more about that a little bit later on here. But car repainting, custom paint bodywork, custom engine work with over 60 years of automotive knowledge. How about what was a whirlwind for Logan Stankoven off the top? He was the guest on the show last week. We had him on. We talked about the Blaze bump, which is a real thing, right? Like, this exists, the Blaze bump, doesn't it? And lo and behold, he gets the call up, gets the word. Just what, 5 days later, he's on a plane from Texas, from Cedar Park, on the way to New York. Now, when he was called up, there was no guarantees he would play. There was no talk of he's in the lineup tonight. A great way to know the situation, whether a player is making their NHL debut or not, is if the family from wherever, in this case Kamloops, the parents, are also traveling. They also make the trek down. Because nowadays, that's written into most NHL contracts, that a team will fly in the parents for an NHL debut. This was maybe 50-50 at best. So it wasn't a slam dunk. Like, yep, he's in. He's going to play. We're going to do it. Boy, they're just loud, like a jet just flew by or something here. It was a loud one. Don't often hear that too many times in Kamloops. Maybe that was Logan Stankoven's jet here. maybe they're flying him home again. What was that about? Yeah, so they say a 50-50, took warm-up, but the word was Matt Duchene was healthy enough to play. So what does he do? He takes off his gear and flies right back to Texas. So a cup of coffee, never got in a game. So I don't know, was the Blaze bump effective this week? I'm not sure. Gets the call-up, doesn't get in. That's coming, though. He's going to play. So when Wes and Dina board that jet we just heard and they head to wherever, in this case it would have been New York, then you know it's for real. Not to say this wasn't for real, I just think that they knew that, you know, he was an insurance policy. Okay, let's talk about Harrison Brunick. Yeah. Probably season ending here. And as we speak, the WHL is yet to rule on a suspension to Alex Edwards. And, you know, you look at the hit, it was probably late, there was no puck. You know, it wasn't one of those egregious hits that you see, like a check from behind or something you that is like, oh man, like right away you know. But in hockey circles, it's a bad hit. And for whatever reason, Alex Edwards has delivered some hits that have caused injuries this season. So I think that will factor into it when you look at a suspension length. Now, here's the deal. The WHL exists for players like Harrison Brudik. This is an WHL NHL draft showcase league, and Harrison Brudik's a top prospect. So I actually got a message from an NHL scout who really admires Harrison's game. I talked to a lot of scouts that really like Harrison's game. And you know what? This is what that scout had to say about it. There's no regard for the puck. Player is looking for guys in a vulnerable position. This league is too good and doesn't need hits like that in it or players like that in it. So, yeah, like this whole league is designed for players like Harrison Brudik. Not to take away from anything from Alex Edwards as a person. I'm sure he's a great kid. He's fought all the way to the WHL, but he's had some questionable hits now. Cost Dexter Whittle his season and maybe his career. That 25-game suspension from earlier in the season. So we'll see what the league does. I've heard that a suspension is coming. Again, as we record this, nothing has been made public. So you got to think, this will be a third or fourth suspension for Edwards. And it's going to be no consultation or no consolation to the Brunick family, who I spoke with, Dad Dean. And yeah, it's tough. You go through, you got to go to the hospital. I don't have to recap the aftermath of this, but it's devastating for the family. And we're talking months, not weeks here. Months, not weeks. So we'll see what goes down from the WHL. But again, this league, if you cannot protect your draft-eligible guys, the poster boys of the league, what are we doing exactly? On a brighter note, Blazer parents, we had all of them in this weekend. It was great to see everybody. We had some guests on the air join us. We had Tony Barrows jump on. Chantal Minton jumped on with us as well. And that was some great conversations in our intermissions. Blazers won the big Monday game, the Monday afternoon game, 3-1, despite losing Harrison there for basically half the game. They were down to five defensemen. Great crowd, over 5,000 in the building, and two really good goaltending performances this past weekend. Saturday and Monday at home, it was the Jesse Sonch Show. Saturday against Prince George, one of the best goaltending performances I've seen in an individual game. 47 saves in regulation OT, and then three more in the shootout. So kudos to Jesse Sonch, who probably should have been the WHL Rookie of the Week based on that performance itself. Tough not to get some accolades from the WHL in that case. But Dylan Ernst was great too Monday. Didn't have to be like spectacular, but was busy. That's how we fire up the show today. That is the opener for Bry's Automotive and Customs. Hey, let's go on the move for Thompson Valley Charters. You know who's on the move? One of the Blazers' top young prospects from Yale Hockey Academy on the Lower Mainland to the Kamloops Blazers. Let's welcome Tommy Lafreniere this weekend. 16-year-old's having a great season. He will join the club this weekend and likely see action. You don't call these players up just to sit in the press box. So I would expect we would see Tommy Lafreniere get his shot this season. And he's having a great season. We'll talk more about that in Prospects Corner. But we've talked about Tommy a lot in this show and the year he's having there at Yale. In fact, in his last 10 games, 10 goals, 14 assists for 24 points, he's been a game breaker at that level. Now, I don't expect him to come in and be a top point producer here. Just want to see him keep up to the pace. That's the first step. So Tommy, hopefully he's on the move this weekend. Boy, there's been a lot of talk in Kamloops about lack of ice availability with Kamloops minor hockey. And we've explored that a little bit more in Radio NL. Zach Carnelli, executive director for Kamloops Minor Hockey Association. He was on Radio NL and he shared his concerns.
The biggest challenge for us in a day-to-day is we just don't have enough ice to provide all of the players exactly what they need. A prime example is we have our U18 group, which is 15, 16, 17-year-olds, and they're on the ice till 10:15 or 10:30 at night. And to me, that's just unacceptable. Those kids don't even get the opportunity to practice. They get one game a week. That's just how short the ice is right now.
So that $5.4 million expenditure went out for that outdoor rink project, or will go out for the project for Riverside Park. And he basically just talked about how minor hockey needs a solution.
Look, I understand that this council's only been around for a year now, and they're still getting their feet wet, and we can't blame this council for all the past issues that we have. But, I mean, we're looking at moving forward, and we can't wait this however many years it's going to take for the Build Kamloops project. But we're at a point right now where we need other solutions.
The one thing that Zach said that struck me or made sense to me was just sort of the track record of new ice facilities in the city.
We haven't had a new arena in Kamloops since Olympic was added to MacArthur Island in, I think it was 2007. But before that, you're looking at the time, it was Riverside Coliseum. So we're looking at, we've added one arena since 1992.
So yeah, he has a point there. It's been a while, for sure. We'll see where this goes. Sean Clouston, happy birthday, by the way, Coach. Yeah, he celebrated a birthday this past week. So it was Don Hay, the milestone birthday. Last week, and now it's Sean Clouston. Not a milestone birthday, but still a happy birthday nonetheless. On the move is for Thompson Valley Charters. They need your help. Or perhaps you know someone looking for bus drivers. And you need your valid license, but they can find a seat for you. Online, your ticket to adventure is at tvcbus.ca. Okay, let's get to our feature interview. Tim O'Donovan, assistant GM of the Kamloops Blazers, is standing by. He's a busy guy. He's got lots on the go. He's got lots of different duties that we'll talk about here coming up in a few minutes. But it's for Hydro Power Wash. Hydro Power Wash Mobile Pressure Washing Services. They service the Kamloops area and the BC interior, specializing in heavy equipment, fleet washing, exterior window cleaning, folks. Exterior window cleaning, you know. You probably have your spouse saying, we have to clean our windows. We got to clean this up for spring. So Hydro Power Wash, everybody. They do exterior house washes as well. Moss removal from roofs. Info at hydropowerwash.ca. Text Christopher 250-851-1072. And who knows, you tell him that I sent you, he may even give you an extra discount when you mention The Blaze, Hydro Power Wash. Hey, Tim, first of all, it's been, I think we've been doing this show nearly two seasons and we haven't had you on yet. So it's great to finally get you on The Blaze here this week.
Oh, thanks, John.
I know it's not, you always tease me, you never listen. So maybe, I guess you'll have to continue that trend here unless you want to hear yourself this week.
Yeah, once in a while. Depends who you have on. You know it, that I love the You've Got Mail.
Yeah, that's right. That's your favorite segment. Mine too.
My favorite piece. Yeah, no, it sure is.
Let's talk about where the team's at right now. Boy, you know, as everybody sat around after the trade deadline thinking, like, where the wind's going to come from and how difficult will it be to close out? You look at the last 13 games this team has played, 9-4. I don't think anybody predicted this team would have some success like this after those moves. What would you attribute that to as you look at the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different pieces to it. You know, I think for players, even staff, it's a bit of a sigh of relief. I think for players, now they know that this is what we have. This is what we're going to be moving forward. And in a way, too, for all of us, we can just dig in and just focus on next steps and what's ahead. And really, for us, we just wanted to be competitive, do our best to be competitive and develop players and keep getting better. And I think so far, we've certainly trended that way. And we've got 14 games left here that, you know, we want to do the same thing moving forward.
We bring you on here. You know, we talk a lot about the hockey, but really your story is one of sticking with it, starting from, you know, entry level, not even entry level, volunteer level, to assistant general manager of this hockey club in a very important role day to day behind the scenes that maybe not a lot of people would know about it. So let's go back to your start, Tim. How did you get involved with the Blazers and what was sort of your first duties with the team? And how many years ago was that now?
Yeah, so I've always loved junior hockey. I grew up in Regina, watched the Pats through the 90s most of the time. And then Kamloops was you know, really my family's home. Most of my family's from here. We came here every summer. So when we came out here in 2001, right away, you know, the Blazers were my favorite team and wanted to get involved. So that was 2003. I was in grade 12 and walked in here, and Mike Moore was the GM. Mike's still part of the league in Calgary with the Hitmen, and talked to Mike and just said, you know, this is what I want to pursue at some point and just, you know, be a part of a team. So really that first season, it started in training camp, doing the score clock, basically just helping, Doug McLeod, who was a person around here that did a lot of the scoring stuff and did different things, helped him out during training camp. And then this new video software came about, this video coaching software, and it was brand new at the time, and basically the message was, well, you know what, you're a young guy, and you know, maybe give this a try and figure it out. And so that's basically how I started, was doing coding games, basically, for the first, you know, 4 or 5 years, 2003 till about 2008, 2009. I really stuck with it through that time, did a degree at TRU in business. And then at that time, I think just really being around here all the time, just showing up and enjoying it, it turned into a full-time job. And then, you know, I've kind of ran with it since and learned a lot and learned from a lot of different people through my years and taken bits and pieces from every single one. And it's been really enjoyable, and I'm grateful to have had the opportunity to be a part of this organization for as long as I have.
Yeah, I think of your different titles since I've known you. You mentioned, you know, you're a volunteer, but you've been a video coordinator. You've been communications and sort of media liaison. You've been director of hockey operations. You've been now assistant general manager. Am I missing any of the other steps along the way here?
To be honest, John, I'm not really a title person. I don't worry about titles. I think, you know, out there, I guess you need a title for probably some other people. So I haven't really counted or worried about it. I just look at it as, you know, this is an organization that I'm grateful to be a part of. This is a league that's the best junior hockey in the entire world. And you get an opportunity to watch these 16 to 20-year-old athletes really grow into men. And you get to work with some of the best people that there is in hockey, guys that have been here for and been part of the game for a long time. You know, I look at our staff right now, Don Hay, the winningest coach in the Western Hockey League. It's pretty amazing to get to work with a guy like that every day. And Sean Clouston as well, obviously the winningest active coach right now. I mean, these are guys with so much experience, not just hockey, just life experience that you get to learn, and they do things the right way every day. So I think based on all that, that's what I really enjoy.
You know, through this all, you haven't missed a lot of games, be they, you know, home or away. Like, you're on virtually every road trip. You know, you punch the clock in the office and do a lot of things behind the scenes. You've got a young family, two kids. But, like, I don't know, do you enjoy the road still? Do you like being out and traveling when, you know, some of your work might be inside the office and a bit of a liaison between management and ownership? Is it something where, you know, you like the road, you like being with the team, or what's it like for you?
Yeah, I think there's a balance to it. When you're young, you absolutely love being on the road. Really, there's you know, nothing else. I think as you get a little bit older with a young family now, you know, you have other things to worry about, other duties. So it probably gets a little bit harder to leave just based on that point. But just if it's just me and personally and how I feel, like a weird story, you could say, you know, being a kid, like, When Kamloops would come out to Regina, I thought that was the greatest thing. You get to miss school, you know, you get to be on a bus with a bunch of your friends on a long road trip, and that's basically the way I still look at it. When you get to go on the bus, it's not an expectation. It's pretty cool to be on there with these guys doing something that's so unique. You know, everyone's wanting to get better and develop and have a pro career at the end of it. And for us, You know, you get to kind of just watch all of that and watch, you know, the interactions and be part of that. So I in a way, I get still pretty excited about going on the bus and different trips and the games. I'm a pretty competitive person, just how I am. So you get really invested in the games and then just enjoy that piece of it.
Yeah. I can't help but think that you were introduced at sports at a really young age because of your dad. Your dad, Bill, who does public address, a longtime anchor at CFJC, was a longtime sports anchor in Regina and on the prairies. And I'm sure you tagged along to, you know, rider practices or Regina Pats games. I have to think that some of this is responsible for when you were young.
Yeah, I would think for sure. I think that's, you know, that's exactly it. My childhood included, going exactly like you said, rider games and rider practices and Regina Pats games. So, you know, you get the odd interaction with the coaches or the management and interaction with the players. And you're a pretty young person at that time, so you're very impressionable. And you watch, you know, the way they go about their business. And for me, I mean, obviously the first thing, you always want to grow up to be an athlete. And I think at a young age, I realized, you know, I enjoy playing sports. I don't think I'm good enough to ever pursue anything in sports. But if there's a way to work in sports one day, I mean, that's certainly something that I'd really like to do and been fortunate to kind of build a career over the last number of years doing it.
Yeah, well, that makes two of us, realizing only ticket to the WHL would have been, you know, as a broadcaster for myself. But yeah, you know, you think of it, the job you started with to now, did you ever imagine it was so, there was so much depth to managing a junior hockey team? You're managing staff, you're managing 22 different players with personalities and agents and parents. You, getting into this, you probably had no idea how deep it actually is in this position at this level.
No, I don't think so. You know, you don't really know what it's going to entail. You just kind of go after it a little bit. I think as time has passed, the depths of the job have gotten a lot greater. There's obviously a lot more involvement with parents and agents and different things like that. It's not where it used to be. You know, you'd almost kind of send your kid off a little bit and good luck, and might see him a couple times a year, and there were no cell phones. Now with communication, you know, they communicate with their parents every day, and it's actually really good to have that involvement as well, because you know, you want to make sure that you're doing the right things every day with the players, with the staff. And so when the parents are involved and see it, you know, like just like this past weekend, having our parents weekend and having our mental performance coach, Bob Wilkie, here talking about confidence. I mean, those are the things that we do, you know, every day, day in, day out. And the parents could see it firsthand that's, you know, our environment here and what we try and promote. And you know, it's, you know, probably hear it a few times, but it's not just all about being a pro hockey player. It's about being a pro in life a little bit every day. And it's just, when you come here, it's not for everyone. It's hard. It's really hard. It's hard for the players every day, practice, school, going after something that so few people are able to achieve. I mean, in the NHL, you think there's 700-800 NHL players a year out of 7 billion people in the world. It's a really tough thing to do. So I think coming here and doing that, you continue to get better every day. And if you have that focus, you're going to be successful in whatever it is you do in life.
A lot of people don't really know how the WHL schedule is put together. And that involves a little bit behind the scenes work, but a lot of that is at a scheduling meeting with representatives around the WHL, sitting around a table, hammering out dates, protecting Saturday nights, trying to give your team the best competitive advantage, but also the best business advantage as far as, you know, trying to draw fans on key nights. And you're the guy responsible for that. You're the guy that goes in and hammers out the Blazer schedule. What's that like? And take us behind the scenes into a schedule meeting and what that is like for you.
Yeah, to be honest, I think it's pretty enjoyable. It's something that I really like because it's a bit of a competition in the way you do it. You sit around the room with the other people in the Western Conference, and really I look around that room and there's a lot of experienced people around there. So it's always great over the last few years kind of learning from what they do and taking it into what you do and maybe coming up with different ideas. But really, you know, junior hockey, you need revenue to be successful. So the key dates are always Friday, Saturday nights. And for us, you know, it can be a bit of both. But on Saturdays, like we got to make sure we get our Saturday home games as often as possible. So, you know, I think over the last few years, we've been pretty good with other teams and working with them. And they've been really good in working with us as to not create a schedule that gets, you know, too hard for our players and even on the business side as well. So even going into next year, like, we feel pretty good about what we were able to do. I think this year's schedule we really liked a lot, just based on the travel portion and the home dates on Friday and Saturday nights, because you want to basically, it's a tough balance when you add it all up, because you know you're not going to get every date you want, so it's a give and take at different times. And it's always good to sit in a room with, you know, everybody from the league in the process and doing it.
I think the WHL should do a reality show on it. It sounds wild at times from just talking to other, you know, general managers and people in that meeting sometimes. You're still relatively a young guy, and I say relative to your position, you're still in your 30s. You've learned from, you know, some top general managers and top, you know, affiliates, or I should say league personnel here. So let's drop some names here. Who have been some influences on the hockey side for you?
I think, you know, Don Hayes, somebody when he came in here the first time around 2014, having the opportunity to work with him was pretty special, I thought. You know, most recently, obviously, Sean Clouston, we spend lots of time together, and through his experiences, you know, he's had a life full of experiences in this game, and especially junior hockey. You know, at different times, like Don Moores was a really impactful person. I would say, you know, when Don passed away, Bruce Hamilton in Kelowna certainly reached out and felt like helped us during that transition period. You know, Matt Bardsley's time here through scouting, learned a lot of different things that he brought in. Those would be some names. You know, I always think of Rick Dirksen at the Western Hockey League. He is the vice president of hockey, and he has to help every team and have the league's best interests always. And he might be the most fair and diplomatic person when it comes to scheduling. You know, he really is in charge of all the teams working together, and he's got a difficult job. But he's someone you can always lean on when you have any questions. So those would certainly, I'm sure I missed some people along the way, but those would certainly be some names that certainly stand out for me.
What about the players that have come through? I'm sure there's a handful of names of players that, you know, either they went on to the NHL or maybe they didn't. Maybe it was just their character, their maturity that caught your attention. So I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but if you could give me a couple of players, a few players over the years that, you know, you still have left an impression and that you still sort of keep in touch and follow here today.
Yeah. You know, like the one that certainly stands out, Brendan Ranford's probably the first one I remember early on, you know, when he was 15, 16. We actually doubled up on the bus together for basically the whole year because I was such a young guy at the time, and he was obviously a young guy too. So, you know, we became close, and obviously watching his career, and now he's a dad, and pretty impressive to see what he's done. Those teams in 2012 and 2013 were certainly really special. You know, the organization at the time hadn't had a lot of success, and those teams brought a lot of hope. You know, so I really, Colin Smith is another player that from a young age, you saw how much he loved the game. You know, it's too bad he he probably didn't have the career I think any of us expected. But at the same time, he's going to be a guy that's successful in life because he's just so passionate about different things. Those would be guys from then. You know, Connor Ingram, when he came in, he had just this different, I don't know, mojo about him. Just, you know, he was casual, but he was so ultra competitive. I mean, there's times when basically you were shocked that a goal would go in against him. Like it was, he would play at a level that, you know, just haven't quite seen before. So that was certainly special. And really over the last few years, I mean, I remember saying it so many different times, like Logan Stankoven, you know, playing here as a hometown kid, doing what he's doing is just, this is something that for generations, you know, Mark Recchi would have been the last guy only for a couple of years that we were able to see. He certainly, and what he's done this year, it's just, it'll be a lot of fun to watch to see where he goes. And really for me, that group of probably 02, 03 players, so the Semenoff and Brandwood and Kiefler and Bankier and Stanks, obviously part of that too, and Garand, that was a really special group. I think back, I mean, John, you and I have talked about it, that game in Kelowna, where they got in a bit of a line brawl and you know, their older players went after our younger players, and to watch our younger players at the time, which were those guys, stick together and get through it the way they got through it, certainly pretty special. So we've had some really good times here and some really good players over the years.
I think another guy that you probably missed and wanted to talk about was Connor Zeri too.
Yeah, after the fact, thinking about it, there, like, again, that year we went on that run to get through the tiebreaker game. I mean, Connor Zeri carried us. Him and Jermaine were so special during that time. That was a tough season. We probably should have been a little bit better than what we were, and it just didn't quite work out that way. But Zeri just at 17 put us on his back and really dragged Jermaine with him through that time. And that was, you know, it was kind of the start. It's so disappointing to not have had playoffs when Zeri was 18 and 19, just because he had this ability to just do things. You know, when the moment was there, he would rise to it. And I think those 2 years with those teams, you know, with Zane Franklin and Sintazzo and Onabuchi, we had so many good quality players at that time that it's disappointing to not have seen what could have happened over those couple of years.
One of the other aspects you do is on the travel side. A lot of people would know you, you know, you do the hotels and the room assignments, and that can be like a full-time job. You know, we won't get into that today, but that's just another avenue that you do. We're in a bit of an interesting part of, I guess, of our lives here, where we're still, I don't know, relatively young, maybe the middle of our working careers. Like you, I think we enjoy what we do. But we're always sort of looking to see what's next, you know, on a career path. So you look at it, you're a young guy, you're an assistant GM of a WHL hockey club. But there's always like, what's next? Do you kind of have a career path set on what you want to achieve, where you want to go? You're a Kamloops guy. Your wife's from here. Your families live here. So oftentimes it's tough to uproot and go somewhere else. But sort of, have you sort of mapped out what you want to do, where you want to go?
Not really. I just look at it day to day here, and especially when you have a family too. It's, I think that dictates everything a little bit more than probably when you're on your own. But when you have a family, you want to make sure they're looked after. So for me, I look at it as, geez, I get to wake up every morning and come to the rink and team that I love and be around people that I really enjoy. So I'm fairly grateful with everything that I have and the opportunities that I've had so far. And I don't, not somebody to go out there and look for something more. And if things arise and things come, certainly explore different things. But I'm so happy with where we're at, where this team is at and the organization is at and who I get to be around on a daily basis. And family is really important. Having our family here has been great and something that we really enjoy. And we have a great group of friends around here. And so really Kamloops is home, and it's probably always going to be home for me. And whatever happens, you know, we take those steps when things happen.
Okay, well, a little bit of a deeper dive on you and, you know, your career and the hockey team here for sure, because I think there's a lot of folks out there that are, you know, 13, 14, 15, they're thinking what's their passion? Like, what do they enjoy doing? Like, you know, and they may say, like, I want to get involved in hockey. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, you're not the son of an owner or the son of an NHL or a general manager in the WHL, and it's tough to break in. So really, I think your story can be, you know, somewhat inspirational to those young people trying to follow their passion and follow their dreams. And I think it's a great example here that you've set as far as perseverance and working your way up. You haven't missed one step on the ladder, one rung on the ladder. And we appreciate you sharing your story here on The Blaze, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, John. I think just to add to that, you know, it's really, I think a lot of, especially in today's world, a lot of young people want things right away. They want things now, and you're after it. And I think it takes a lot of time and a lot of perseverance and a lot of patience. Just like anything, if you really want something, you know, you can't become a great hockey player in a day. It takes many, many years of work and practice and everything like that. So that goes to the same thing as to whatever you want to pursue.
Well said. Thanks for being our guest.
Yep. Thanks, Sean.
Okay, let's go to Prospect Corner now for Mastodon Equipment and Repair, your mobile servicing and repair specialist. From coming up with a preventative maintenance program for all your equipment, aerial work platform inspections, pre-purchase inspections, emergency repairs. They've got you covered. Go big, go with Mastodon. And some big news. Tommy Lafreniere on his way to the hockey club. He'll play this weekend. 29 goals on the season. We featured him a couple of weeks ago on the show here for Prospects Corner. But let's take a look at another forward, a year younger this week. Ty Bonkowski, just 15, 2008 born. He's playing this season at the Burnaby Winter Club with the under-18 team. So a couple of years underage and playing well. Playing well through 28 games. He's put up 30 points. Again, just 15, 12 goals, 18 assists for those 30 points. And Blazers, I think, have high hopes for him to continue to develop. He played for Team BC at the WHL Cup. A sixth-round pick. First forward selected in that draft year. 130th overall. So that's good news for Ty Bonkowski and the Blazers, for sure. But, of course, the big news on the prospect front is we see one ahead this week with, of course, Tommy Lafreniere. So we're excited to see that. We get to see these prospects. Probably won't be the first. Probably we'll see a steady stream of these prospects. Hopefully. I mean, that's my hope the rest of the way. It's Prospects Corner for Mastodon Equipment and Repair. All right, let's do some buying and selling. And we might even have some buying and selling breaking news before we're done here today. It's for Kyle Panasek, Westwind Royal LePage Realty. Are those interest rates ever going to go down? I know we're back around our inflation target, but still, no relief. But Kyle Panasek, if you're buying or selling, trusted real estate professionals at Royal LePage Westwind Realty. Okay, first of all, I'm buying
buy.
The Radio NL Radiothon. I was part of the Radiothon on Thursday. I hosted the show from 10 to 2, had a lot of fun, raised a lot of money. I think we put in about $100,000 worth of donations in that four-hour span. So thanks to everybody that caught the show and donated for life-saving equipment at RIH. That was great. Hey, I'm buying Blaze Bump Strikes again. If you know, you know, right? I am selling.
I'm selling
the Harrison Brunick injury. I have heard word now that the suspension is coming, that we talked earlier in the show, and now we're hearing that the WHL will announce a suspension. I won't say for how long. I'll let them come down with that. But as we're recording here, If more information is known, later in the show, we'll tell you that number to Alex Edwards. Tough blow, though, right? You can't replace Harrison Bruning, likely gone for the season. Defenseman Ryan Michael, that's his defensive partner for a lot of this season. I asked Ryan about the loss of Harry.
It's definitely unfortunate. Obviously, you never want to see a teammate go down. I just hope he has a quick and safe recovery. But, yeah, obviously, I feel pretty bad for him. So, yeah, just wishing him the best. One of our top players. But now we just need some guys to step up and kind of fill in that role. So we're looking forward to the challenge.
Okay, let's get to my what seems like my weekly Kamloops traffic complaint. I'm selling.
Sell, sell, sell.
I'm selling when, you know, you let someone in traffic, you give them room and they slide it in front of you. When they don't acknowledge you back for being a good roadway citizen. You know, give me a little wave. You know, give me a little acknowledgement. One thing I've started doing in that case, now I think this is the right thing to do. Maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong. But if someone lets me in or, you know, makes way for me or you know, lets me, you know, get in off a side street onto a main road, I'll get in front and I'll just hit my, hazard lights real quick. Kind of like a wink. You know, I'll hit my hazard lights just for maybe two little click clicks. And I don't know. That's what I do. And I've heard people do that as a thank you. So am I doing that right? That's what I like. Hey, hit your hazard lights. Just a little acknowledgement. That's all we want, right? That's all we want. Kamloops is a, you know, for the most part, our traffic's pretty good. But it's kind of crazy between 8 and 9. And it's kind of crazy between 3:30 and 5:30. The way where I'm going anyways. I don't know what it's like in the rest of the city, but if I'm trying to get from Batch to downtown and then home downtown to Batch, that's when it's busy for me.
Buy, buy, buy!
Hey, I'm buying Great Fan Skate Monday. What a turnout to skate with the Blazers after that Monday win. That was just so many folks and the guys were great. 45 minutes afterwards, they skated with fans and it was a great afternoon there. So buying everybody that showed up at the Fan Skate had a good time. And I'm buying our guest today. What a great story that is. Tim O'Donovan, thanks for popping by. It's buying and selling. Kyle Panasuk, Westwind Royal LePage Realty Kamloops.
You've got mail.
Okay, let's get into fan mail for the Mattress King, where I believe Aaron received a truckload of Samsung flat screen TVs, a new shipment, so you know he won't have you paying retail on those TVs. Mattress King, not just mattresses, best deals on electronics as well. We will kick off fan mail with some news. We've been talking about this all show, the suspension to Alex Edwards. At first we heard it was coming down today, and then we were waiting for the number, and as we were recording, the number comes out. It is 8 games for Alex Edwards. 8 games. So where do we stand on that? Where do we sit on it? It'll actually end up being tied for second for the longest suspension this season, sharing with Matt Henry, also repeat offender with the Brandon Wheat Kings. And who has the longest suspension? Well, it's Alex Edwards, a 25-gamer from earlier this year, one of the first games of the season. So, okay, where do we sit on that? Too much? Too little? The feedback so far on Twitter has been not enough. Not enough games. Okay, so let's get into fan mail now. Let's check our mailbag tweet. Nathan Ryder at NathanRyder14. Thanks for your question today. He goes, I know the WHL has gone back and forth between a conference, a 1-8, and a divisional playoff. Top three teams from each division make plus two wildcards, like the NHL format. Which do you prefer? I undoubtedly prefer 1-8. It protects you from being in a really strong Division I season where you could match up with a top team in the league in round two. Like if you're a good team, someone else is a good team in that division, you could match up in round two. Like two nationally ranked teams in the second round of the playoffs. This way, at least, it protects you for another round of the playoffs. I don't exactly like it for, you know, some of the matchups you could get, like at Kamloops Tri-City or Kamloops Spokane's not really like a big draw, you know, but a Kamloops Kelowna, a Kamloops Prince George, something like that is a much, you know, that's a better draw when it comes to fans and just excitement. So no doubt, though, Nathan, 1-8, no doubt, is my preference. Steven at the Slice. Missed your question last week, but you're in this week again. Other than buy-in and playing with nothing to lose, as he listens to the show, what play style changes have you noticed from the team since the trade deadline? I see the Blazers defend first, stay in structure, and then counterattack rather than trying to score when they don't have the power play. Okay, so yeah, that's exactly it. It's like defend, structure, counterpunch, find a way to win. What have I noticed, Steven? I've noticed better goaltending. Like, you don't go very far without high-end goaltending. And good goaltending can mask some flaws, can mask some mistakes. And you look at the last two wins they've had, you know, without a great goaltending performance, do they win those games against Prince George or against Victoria? So the numbers are better for both in the second half. Both goaltenders after the trade deadline are around 900 in save percentage, around the number. And that can definitely win you some more games. So like you mentioned, they've been doing that, and they've played with more buy-in and as a team and nothing to lose. But, hey, still comes down to on the ice, and goaltending is a massive factor. On patrol at the Sheriff_24, do you think we'll see any other prospects make their debut with the Blazers this season other than Lafreniere? So we will see Tommy Lafreniere this weekend, and I think we will. Like, I think at some point, you know, we'll wait and see. The Blazers they don't want to pull someone out of their playoffs or they're late in the season. So it'll be more probably players that would come in once their season is over. I'd think a guy like maybe like a Logan Edmonstone maybe comes in and maybe gets a start. Maybe a guy like Hudson Claussen gets an opportunity here at some point. Those are a couple of names just off the top of my head. We'll wait and see if there's any more that stick out down the stretch here. Issa Gurum might get more games here. But good question, Sheriff, and we'll be watching that. Warm Up the Bus says, how much emphasis is there on size when drafting in the WHL, considering the players are still growing when they're drafted? I think, Warm Up the Bus, certain teams favor certain elements, size being one. I think the Blazers, for the most part, value, well, at least under Aaron Keller now, I think they're going to value character and hockey sense, hockey IQ. I think those will be the two. If they have size, nice bonus, nice to have. I think other teams out there value size more than maybe the Blazers do. But that's a great question for Aaron Keller. I'd like to have Aaron on the show, new director of player personnel, and just ask him what he values and when it comes to size. Because that is a good question. You're right. They're still growing. You know, sometimes you can have a player drafted at 5'2" and they end up at 6 feet or 6'1". So it's a bit of a crapshoot. You can kind of tell. You can look at their parents and their bloodline and say, okay, how big will this player get? But yeah, no, good question. I think that's something we should follow up on. Brotherhood of Blazer goalies named Dylan. And that's at Dylan_Saunch_1. Last year, the staff seemed to use two players, left and right-handed, for faceoffs on each line, depending where the draw was. This year seems to be the traditional approach. Was last year a luxury, or are they hoping to get back to that eventually? So, you know what? I actually looked into this. I messaged someone on the hockey team to say, okay, what do you think of this question? And something that was actually obvious after they mentioned it. The Blazers had so many players that could play center last season. You think of their acquisitions, right? Like Jakub Demick came in, centerman. Ryan Hofer can play center. You know, they already had Logan Stankoven, Caden Bankier, and Fraser Minton. So a lot of these players end up in the same line with each other. So you have, naturally, two centers. And it was a nice luxury. Blazers get, you know, a guy like Svetlakov in. You know, Blake's been good in the faceoff circle and gives them a little bit of, you know, some options there. But that's just something to think about. So wasn't by design last year. They just had so many centermen that were versatile and could play those roles and take those faceoffs on either side. Scott Rhodes. Haven't heard from Scott Rhodes in a while. Cam Survey. He goes, is there a higher than normal emphasis being placed on the import and U.S. draft? The U.S. draft, since we will be drafting so high this year. The recent winning trend is starting to hurt those draft positions, he says. is there a lottery for those picks? Yeah, no lottery for the import draft, but each year it rotates its way through for each of the three leagues as far as who gets the number one pick. If my sort of table is right, the WHL will pick second overall in the CHL import draft. And then again, what would it be? It'd be fifth, right? U.S. draft, yeah, I don't think there's a lottery for that either. But to answer your question about emphasis, I know already, you know, they're looking into this as far as, okay, high-end import pick coming up. Should we use it? What should we do with it? Who's out there? And talk has started on that. But that's a good observation, Scott. You're right. You know, you win some games. I think the winning's important, though. I don't think you can play the whole, you know, import draft game pick selection when you just want to win some games and build some continuity and build some culture. I think it's important. But yeah, Scott, have I thought about exactly what you're saying? Yes, I have for sure. Karen Vandermeer wants to talk about the Brunick hit. Now, I'm hearing on the Brunick front, okay, the 8-game suspension. We're also hearing that it's maybe not as severe for Harry injury-wise than maybe first thought or first feared. Not to say his Blazer season isn't likely still over, but when you look at events coming up that he'd hope to take part in, like you look back and you think, oh, it'd be great if he could play U18s, the U18 Worlds, and get another shot at this in front of scouts. You know, I don't think the severity is as bad as first thought. It's still probably month to month or week to week, but yeah, it was a bad hit. 8-game suspension. If you follow the show here today, we've walked all our way through it from no suspension to we're waiting for one to we have one to now we know it's 8 games. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough for Harry and the Blazers and Harry's family. Great questions this week, everybody. Thanks for playing along each and every week. Fan mail, it's for the Mattress King. We reach the end of the show in closing remarks. Again, big news today, 8-game suspension handed down to Alex Edwards. The Blazers call up Tommy Lafreniere. He'll play this weekend. And it's another tough weekend ahead here with 3 games in 3 nights in 3 different cities starting Friday night at home against the Prince George Cougars. Closing remarks is for Pleasure Pools Plus. Check out their massive roster of affordable H2O, Cal, and Sundance spas for hot tub repairs, service, or advice. Talk to Len, Sari, and the entire staff at Pleasure Pools Plus today. We were talking last week how everybody in Kamloops seems to have a pool. Closing remarks. So we'll see how this shakes down this weekend. No Harrison Brunick, that puts a lot more pressure on the 6 defensemen that are here. And I guess you'd have a guy like Issa Gurum probably standing by if need be. But it's going to be tough. You got Prince George here Friday. We all know what happened last Saturday night, right? Jesse Sanch was excellent. That cost the Cougars probably, they feel, a point. So they'll be coming in hungry. They just swept Seattle in a pair of games, bumping Seattle to last place in the conference as we speak. Last place in the WHL standings, or is it Edmonton right now? Edmonton, I know, picked up a crazy win earlier this week on Hockey Hookie Day. So you got Saturday, it's into Langley for the first time since Connor Levis was dealt to the Vancouver Giants. We hope to have Connor on our pregame show. He started off really hot. It's been backed off a little bit numbers-wise, but the Giants are red hot. They're trying to get in the conversation for home ice advantage now in the Western Conference. And then it's into Seattle for the first time this season on Sunday. So we know Seattle will have a little bit of revenge on their mind. The Blazers with a 4-1 win earlier, just a couple of weeks ago. So, folks, thanks for hanging in there and being part of the show. We love the interaction. We love our guests. Tim O'Donovan is great this week, I thought. And if you have a guest suggestion, pass it along for me. You know where to find me, at John Keen NL Sports. Thanks to our title sponsor, River Shore Golf Links. We'll be talking about what club to use from 150 in here in no time. We'll be out there. We'll be feeling the golf season. We'll be in the groove and hopefully catching the ball in the grooves here in no time. Thanks for being part of it, everybody. It is episode 22 for River Shore Golf Links. Have a great weekend.